working here. I didn't have my noise on. But it is interesting to me that those three little words in English actually represent a fairly large body of knowledge and understanding in the original languages. And I also believe that it is impossible to fully understand either concept, love or patience. It's impossible to really love or be patient unless we understand the many facets of the meaning that are presented by the original words of love and patience in the New Testament. Now, first, love. I've talked about love many times, love is one of those many faceted words. And you know, in the Greek, there are five words that the Greeks use for love. There are three of them found in the New Testament. And let's jump into Colossians chapter 3 and take a look at what Colossians has to say about this very subject. We read, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, take those things off and clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So, as I've said, we are called to, if we really want to be patient, we must understand love first. And I found that when I really love somebody, I am much more, it is so much more easy to be patient with them. Now, as I mentioned, these are the three types of love in the New Testament. There is brotherly love, there's romantic love, and then there's agape love, the way that God loves. And secondly, there is patience. Now, it is my belief that when we fully understand patience, and by the way, I'm going to share with you several words in Greek that talk about different kinds of patience. And as I told you last week, I want to give you some practical tips on how to begin to develop patience. But patience is an awful lot like learning baseball. All of you know I'm coaching five and six-year-olds, and one of the things that you can't do with a five and a six-year-old is dump the entire rules of baseball on them. You've got to start small with one skill and build upon another skill. And there are multiple skills. Now, there are multiple patiences in the Bible. And I think one of the difficulties that we have is that we expect we want to pray and be patient in everything. But if you pick one of these areas in your life and begin to work on patience in that area, it becomes easier to learn those skills, just like a 5 or 6-year-old learns those skills built one upon another. Then the first tip on developing patience is, once you see all of these different types of patience in the Scriptures, pick one where you think you are most likely to be successful and start there. One of the things that we know is it's easier to build on success than it is to build upon failure. You know, yesterday they ran the Kentucky Derby. And one of the things that they do with thoroughbred horses and the way they train them is they always train them by reward. They don't punish them, but what they do is they teach them by reward. When they do something that they want them to do or act in a way they want them to act, they reward them. And when they do something wrong, they don't get rewarded. So if you want to develop patience, which is, as I told you last week, one of the most difficult things to develop because we're all still working on it. Amen? Amen. Then start with something where you can get a little bit of reward, someplace where you can be successful. So as we go through these in the information part of this message, I want you to think about this is how, which one of these, once again, which one of these do I have the greatest likelihood of having a little bit of success in, and I'll work on that and then begin to work on other things and thereby building your repertoire of patience in your life. Now, the first type of patience in the scriptures that I want to introduce you to is one that is comes from the word anecho. And anecho means to hold up under difficult circumstances or to hold back from retaliating against someone who has harmed us. And often in the Bible, that is, you'll see the word of forbearance or tolerance. And its origin is, origin of the word tolerance. Now, Ephesians 4:2 is a wonderful example of this type of patience. Write that one down. Look it up when you get home. But look at Colossians, once again, chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. I'm going to give it to you up there. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbear one another in love. And generally, this is the patience that we learn to develop between brothers and sisters in the Lord. Also in Colossians 3:12 and 13, remember we're told, put on therefore as beloved of God, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone have a quarrel against you. So that's the first kind of patience, the kind of patience you would have with one another, likely a brother or a sister. Now also notice that I think that this is perhaps the easiest one to begin with, because most of the time that you are with your brothers and sisters, you are in public. And we tend to be a little bit nicer in public than we are in private. Every once in a while I get to hear of some of the things that are said and done in private, and I am often very, very thankful that I only know some people in the public sphere. Their private lives might be a little bit difficult, but that is perhaps the easiest one. Learning to hold up or to forbear with someone who, or hold back from retaliating against someone who has harmed you. The second type of patience that the Bible talks about comes from a word called hupomene. And hupomene, its definition is not losing your heart under a great siege of trials. Now, in biblical terms, that's spoken of as endurance. And examples of scripture there are found in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, where Paul says that we are to rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation. We also read in James 1, 3 through 4, and then verse 12, where James is saying, know this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect word, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Blessed is he who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the second type, and I'll throw the third one up, but the second type is to endure under temptation or to endure under trial. Now, let me tell you, folks, one of the things that I have found in my life, the only way that I've learned to be patient in trial is to go through trial. I would not suggest you start at praying for this one to begin with. I don't want any of you to be praying for trial. Unless of course we have some sadomasochists out there, and you know, go for it if you desire. But hupomene, we all are going to go through different types of trials in our life. And that perhaps is the last of the patience that we end up getting to, where we go through enough trial and we realize after, you know, it's said that we only understand life looking back at it. But the unfortunate thing is that we have to live life looking forward into it. One of the things that you all know is that trial, and I know this in my life, that trial has taught me an awful lot of things. You remember 4 years ago when I had my knee replaced and they damaged the nerve and it looked like I was, you know, going to be wearing a brace the rest of my life. I wasn't very happy about that. But one of the things that has happened in my life since then is I realized that one of the things that when the doctor said you just need to relax and wait, it will come back. I didn't believe him. I'm not sure he believed himself. His insurance company was hoping that was the case. But I have found in my life that since that experience, I have been able to look at other difficulties in my life and live up to some of the greatest words in Scripture. And actually, it's the best four words in Scripture. This too shall pass. There will be a time when it will pass. Now let me introduce you to the third one, and then we'll jump into some other stuff on how we develop this in our life. The third word is makrothumi. And makrothumi means to be slow to wrath or slow to anger. The word that is used in the King James Version is long-suffering. That is one word that we didn't bring over from the King James that I think is a real important word, long-suffering. Several years ago, I had someone, when I mentioned long-suffering, they asked, well, how long do I need to suffer? And I said, well, is it over yet? And they said, no. I said, well, then you haven't suffered long enough. There is, as I said, the best four words of Scripture are, this too shall pass. Now, I want to share with you a couple of key verses where we see where this word was used in the original language. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is essentially saying that this is God's patience. This is the kind of patience, you know, we all ascribe to develop agape love. Well, we all should desire to develop makrothume patience. It is always patience or long-suffering where it is talked about as an attribute of God. And as God has been patient, it says, with sin and with us, we need to have some patience with those who around us are difficult. Now, I found that the two things that I have the most difficulty in patience with are people and things. And so my guess is that you are exactly in the same boat as I am. But there's a lot of times that one of the things that I have also learned is that there's not a whole lot that I can do with a whole lot of people. Amen? And then there's not a whole lot I can do with a whole lot of things. Amen? But there's a lot that I can do in me. I may not be able to change people and things, but I can certainly change me. Now, how do we change us? Now, I believe patience has four directions. And Scripture, Scripture tells us, and this is a hupomene, that it is that one direction is patience in trials and problems. And I've already told you, and you already know it, that it is very difficult to be patient when trials and problems come our way. Instead, what we want to do is have them over as quickly as possible. You know, we live in a culture. You and I are alike. I want instant solutions. But God doesn't always work that way. Sometimes He allows difficulties to continue for long periods of time to teach us several things. And And one of the things that I know that he allows trials and problems to occur over time is because it all, when we get to the backside, we realize that we can trust God more. God always shows up in the middle of trials and problems. And then secondly, I think God wants to teach us or lets things continue in our lives because we need to learn to endure. One of the things that I think is so lacking in how we are teaching children today is when I was a little boy, one of the things that I heard ad nauseum, which means I got to the point where I wanted, every time I heard it, I wanted to stick a finger down my throat and gag. It was when I would try something and it didn't work, and ultimately my father would look at me and say, the only way to be successful is to try, try, try again. Mentioned I'm coaching 5 and 6 year olds, and one of the once again, the sad thing that I see so often in them is they've got one try in them, and if it doesn't work, they want to quit. But God knows that that it is important for us to learn to endure. And then another thing that in that endurance in my life always happens is, in that endurance, I really develop thankfulness. Once again, going back to baseball, you're going to say, Pastor Jeff, you're consumed by 5 and 6 year old baseball. And I will say, yes, I am right now. But one of the things that happened this last week, we have a little boy who I can tell that he is not likely to play in the major leagues when he grows up. He doesn't have a lot of skill. He doesn't really try very hard. It was in the first practice, his dad came up to me and said, I want you to understand something. My wife and I, neither one of us have any athletic ability. And I said, stop right there. Because what I know you're going to tell me is that your son is unlikely to have any athletic ability because you don't have any athletic ability. Now, since we'd already had a long enough practice, I pretty much had come to the same conclusion. But I also had come to the, I have also come to the conclusion that any kid, if they learn to try, try, try again, that they will eventually develop some bit of success in whatever they try. Well, little Evan, this last week on Tuesday night, we were able to get that ball game in. And by the way, in the practices and the games we've had so far, I have probably thrown 200 balls to Evan, and Evan never got close to hitting the baseball. But Tuesday night, little Evan, I threw the ball. He swung for the first time as hard. I'd never seen him swing hard. And luckily enough, I threw the baseball where the bat came through, and he hit the ball, and the ball goes toward third base, and the look on his face was total, complete surprise. And then he takes off running. And if I thought I also learned that if I thought he was a bad hitter, he's even a worse runner. But thank goodness the other team can't catch, right? And he makes it to first. And when the inning's over, and I get down on one knee in front of little Evan, and I say, how did that feel? He said, oh, that felt so good. I thought I would never, ever hit a baseball. And the look on his face was just amazing. And then to see the face of his mom and dad, and to see this thankfulness that had come over them, because I think that they thought he was going to go through the whole season and never hit a ball. But the look of thankfulness that came over them because they continued in the midst of this trial of trying to hit a baseball. Dear friends, I know that the same thing happens to us And one of the reasons that God wants us to develop patience is at the end of patience in trials and problems is likely when we are most thankful. Secondly, Scripture tells us that the second direction of patience, and it's the word anecho, it is our natural inclination to be impatient with people. It is our natural inclination to get angry at them for the things that they do which displease us. It is natural for us to fly off the handle when they say something to us or do something against us to express great displeasure. It is natural when they do things the wrong way. And the three worst offenses that we seem to have the most difficulty of developing patience with people is untimely interruptions, negative criticisms, and harsh words. But God's word says that we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him, and don't worry about evildoers, cease anger and forsake wrath, and for evildoers will eventually be cut off. But for those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Instead of getting upset with people, we should trust in the Lord and wait for Him to work in their lives and realize that in the midst of working in their lives, He's going to work in our lives. And actually, it's not wrong to get angry, but it's wrong to act in evil ways in our anger. And ultimately, I have found with most of the people that I get angry with, it doesn't help the situation at all. It doesn't make them move faster. It doesn't make them act any different. And we need to understand that if we are going to develop patience with people, that we've got to be happy with them the way they are and trust that God and life is going to turn them into something different. And I think that's the biggest problem in patience with people. I want people to think like me. I want people to act like me. I want people to do the things that I want them to do. And ultimately, when I figured out that everybody wasn't going to do it my way, then life became a whole lot easier. And trust me, I am just like you. I think there are two ways to do anything. There is my way and the wrong way. And all of us are that way in one form or another. However, Anecho says that in the midst of somebody not doing it our way, is we just need to get to the place where we forgive them for being them. And I hope that they can forgive us for being us. The third direction of patience, that macrothumi, the plan of God. I generally get impatient with God in the things that I pray for. I often pray for something and expect God to answer overnight. What we have all failed to realize is that God is not on human standard time. I have gotten to be much more understanding and loving. I'm going to look at Crystal here for a minute because Crystal comes from Burma. And one of the things that I have found in my dealings with the Burmese people is they have a thing called Burmese Standard Time. It's a lot like Hispanic time. It's a lot like French time. It's a lot like Italian time. That means that the way we do time in the United States is radically different than anybody does time any place else in the world. And I have gotten to the place where when I quit expecting my Burmese brothers and sisters to do things on my time, it's amazing how much easier it has become to love my Burmese brothers and sisters. Well, dear friends, I can tell you this. It's a lot easier to love God and love others when we realize that everybody isn't on our time. Especially not God. And one of the things that I have learned in my life, when I ask God for something, that God always answers prayer. Now, God doesn't always answer prayer the way I want it answered. There are some times that God answers our prayers with, yes, now is the time. There is also a time when God says no. And the counterpart of that is, oh, when God says no, he is always saying, I have a better way. So there's yes, now's the right time. There's no, I have a better way. And there is a third thing that we have to understand about listening to God when we are praying to him, is that his third answer is, wait, I will answer it in my perfect time. That means this kind of patience is one that says that if the answer isn't yes, that there is either a better way or it's not my time yet. And when I began to understand that that was a principle of how God answers prayer, it's amazing that when I translate that into my life, and once again, here is a practical step, as you think, so are you, that when I translate that into my work with people and things, then I find that I become a little bit more patient, and I can guarantee that you will too. Remember, three answers that you will get in all things. Yes, it's the appropriate time. No, there is a better way. And three, wait, because the perfect time is not yet here. And the fourth direction, there is not a word in it for, and there is not a word in particular in Scripture, but I think I have found a fourth direction that I want to share with you that perhaps will be the foundation for all the other patiences in your life, and that direction is this. Learn to be patient with yourself. See, if the Lord is patient with us, why not be patient with ourselves? Now, this doesn't mean complacency. We should be accepting ourselves as we are, but we should also desire to be the perfect, the better person that God wants us to be. And all of us, I think, need to understand that as God continues in our lives, we slowly and surely become a little bit more like God and like the person that God would have us to be. But progress is quite often very slow. This year, Gail and I are going to be celebrating 40 years of marriage. You know, as I've said, thank you. All the people not clapping are saying, slackers, I've been married 70 years. But if you looked at my Facebook friends, I'm a pretty small percentage of my Facebook friends at 40 years. But one of the things that once again, as I said, life is understood looking back, but has to be lived looking forward. One of the things that I understand is that in these 40 years, I have slowly and sometimes imperceptibly become an awful lot like the woman I sleep next to every night. And slowly and imperceptibly, she has become a little more like me. And the wonderful thing is if we just persevere, if we just endure, if we just forbear, if we just are long-suffering, and if we are a little patient in ourselves, if we are moving in knowledge and a direction toward God, over time, we will eventually become a little bit more like him. And if there is anyone in all creation that has patience, we know it is our Lord and our Savior. Now, practically, how do we cultivate that patience? What is the task that you and I must do? I think it's best illustrated in a true story by the name, it's a story that has to do with a woman by the name of Carol Pryor. True story. Carol Pryor was sitting at Midway Airport Terminal waiting to catch her flight from Chicago to New York. She had an hour to kill, so she went to a newsstand and bought a magazine. She stopped at a gift shop and bought a Chicago Cubs t-shirt and a hat for her son. The hat and the shirt were placed in a shopping bag. And then Carol began her journey back to the waiting area. And as she was walking back to the waiting area, she passed a Dunkin' Donut shop. And those donuts look mighty tasty, so she stopped and she bought 6 donuts and a cup of coffee. The waiter put the donuts in a bag, but Carol began to, and she began to drink the coffee. She returned to the airport waiting area, and Carol placed all of her sacks on the bench. She sat down and began to read her magazine. Suddenly, she noticed the man sitting next to her, reached into her bag, and helped himself to one of her donuts. True story. Well, what did Carol do? What would you do if you were Carol? Let's see what God's Word says and how we ought to act. Well, here's the first practical step. Point one, we are told that we ought to bear with one another because we all have sinned. Look once again at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He says, Paul writes to the Colossians, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived." Dear friends, we have all sinned, and we have all come short of the glory of God. And if we do it, that means everybody else is going to do it. Everyone is guilty of disappointing Jesus, and if they disappoint Jesus, they will eventually disappoint you. Maybe we've compromised our Christian convictions. Maybe we go along with someone because we're intimidated or embarrassed. Maybe we've sinned by leaving something undone. But if someone falls into sin, there's a proper way to deal with it, and it must always be done in a humble and compassionate manner. It must be done in an effort to help the person and never in a harsh, judgmental, crushing way. Now, let's go on with the story of Carol. When Carol saw the man take the donut from her sack, she did what we would probably all do. She gave him first a dirty look. But she was in public, and she didn't want to make a scene. And so what she did is she reached in the bag and she took a donut out for herself and ate it, continued to read her magazine. She was having a hard time concentrating on her magazine because she kept thinking about the donut thief sitting next to her. She wrote this story in a short story that was published actually in the Chicago Sun-Times. And she thought to herself, the nerve of that guy. I would have gladly given him one if he'd have just asked. But then, just then as she was thinking that, she was, you know, talking herself off the ledge, the guy reached in the bag and took another donut. Now, what was Carol going to do now? What would you do after you've talked yourself off the ledge? The first point was, we need to bear with one another. Well, she bore with him the first donut. The guy takes the second donut. Patience, step number two. We ought to bear with one another because God, through Jesus, puts up with us. Now look at verses 12 and 13 again. You'll see this action step. It says, I guess I don't have it in. Let me read it. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." The Bible says that we need to be kind to one another. Why? Because the Lord has been kind with us. Amen? When I read the Gospels, one thing that really blesses me is how often the disciples messed up, how often the disciples fell short, and how often their faith didn't come to the forefront. But in every step, Jesus continued to include them in his work. And sometimes I see that Jesus felt a little frustrated. When the disciples feared the storm at sea, Jesus said to them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" When his disciples couldn't cast a demon out of a boy, Jesus said, "How long am I going to put up with you?" Frustration does happen. But if you want to take action, step number two is you begin to ask God for the strength to do forgiveness the way he does forgiveness. And you can imagine, now Carol, the first donut, I can overlook it. I can do that in my own power. The second one, I need God in the middle of that one. Okay? Let me go on with the part of the rest of the story. Now, after the second donut, Carol was even more irritated. The stranger had helped himself to two donuts, and she thought to herself, if I wasn't so nice, I'd slap him in the face. She writes, she says, I wanted to move the donuts to her other side, but she couldn't bring herself to do it, even though she really didn't want it. Carol took another donut out of the bag and began to eat it. She's going to get her second donut. And a few minutes later, the donut thief reached into the sack and took a third donut. And Carol got boiling mad. Now there was only one donut left, but Carol refused to take the last one. She kept looking meanly at him, glancing down at the donut bag, looking over at him, and he would smile at her, but not a word was said. And then with a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he reached in the bag, took the last donut, broke it in half, and offered her half. True story. Carol snatched it from her hand and thought, oh, brother, this guy has a lot of nerve, and he is so rude, he didn't even say please or thank you. Point number three in the story. We ought to bear with one another because accounting day is coming. Look at verse 25 in Colossians number 3. It says, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. The Bible tells us that there will be a penalty imposed on wrongdoers. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Romans 14:10 says, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of God. One more, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. The point is simply this. While we do have a certain obligation to one another to encourage and even rebuke in love, the bottom line is that the biggest responsibility we have is to keep our own lives straight. We must never forget our own faults. And when we don't forget our own difficulties, we always develop patience. Folks, I have become a much more patient driver with people who do stupid things, because I'm realizing the older I get, the stupider things I do in a car. When I look at, you know, I sometimes don't turn my head all the way to see if somebody's right on the back bumper where they're not supposed to be driving. You know, because if I go over into that lane and they're on the back bumper, it's their fault, right? No. Well, Carol sighed a bit of relief when her flight was canceled, when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings, headed for the gate, refusing to even look at the ungrateful donut thief. Carol boarded the plane and sat down in her seat. She reached into her shopping bag to look at the sweatshirt she had bought for her son, and she found something else there. A bag with 6 Dunkin' Donut donuts. The donuts she ate in the lounge were not hers, they were his. She had been the thief all along. A reckoning is coming. Now, who do you want to be, Carol or the anonymous donut donor? I want to be the donut donor. And the moral of this story is very clear. Whenever we are tempted to get irritated by someone's actions, whenever we become impatient, we need to stop and think about our own faults. And maybe, just maybe, we are the ones in the wrong. And if we think about our own selves and the times that we desire patience, I can guarantee you that you will become more patient. It may be difficult to wait on the Lord, but let me tell you, dear friends, it is worse to wish that you had. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father God, I thank you that when we think about patience, that perhaps the best thing to remember is that we are offenders ourselves. And Father, today as we think about these action steps, the way that we ought to be thinking, help us to remember, O Lord, that your word is true. As a person thinks, so is he or she. Lord, as we go to this table in just a bit, help us to realize, O God, that the reason most often that we are impatient is because we think we deserve something else than what we have, or what has happened, or what we've got. But I pray, O Lord, in this story of Carol, that we could see and understand that in reality, what we deserve is far less than all of us have. What we should have is much less than what we have. And when we look, O God, at the great and wonderful blessings of our life, the forgiveness and forbearance that you have had with us, I know, O God, it is much, much easier to be patient and forbear with those whom we are impatient with. Father God, if there is someone who would like to pray with this impatient pastor, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to walk this aisle and pray together. Father, I do want to be a more patient man. I do want to be a more patient pastor, a more patient baseball coach. And Lord, help me to see my own shortcomings and see the good in those around me. This is my prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.